God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world as we remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ in his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I try very hard, I think, these days to talk about politics. Let me say that again. I try very hard to talk about politics. I get this warning. You know, when I left local radio three years ago, I wanted to put God at the center of my work, and I was unwilling to put up with some of the speech codes that had been installed on local radio. And I've told you that story, but I wanted to talk God's word at the center of radio, and in political talk radio, that's difficult to do. It's not because there's bad people. It's just that people tune in and they expect to hear just politics. And if they hear you talking God's word too much, sometimes people get confused. Where's my politics? So when I started down that path, I got a note from a pastor. It was a really interesting note. And he wrote me and said, I'm thrilled for you. Praise God that this is happening to you and that God intends to use it this way. And he told me, he goes, you're going to find it hard to talk about anything but God's word. I thought, well, that's really interesting. And I don't know that I responded by saying, no, I don't think that's true. But I didn't understand how right he was. And so I do try hard to talk about politics. And I'll tell you why. Is because obviously politics is an expression of, well, who we're becoming as a country. It's also people who've been given great, great responsibility to steward a great, great resource. This continent, this country, God gave us this or we wouldn't have it. So we're to steward it well. Well, we talk about that environmentally. We talk about stewarding our family's financial resources well. But the people who've been allowed to have leadership at the top, they're to steward this country, particularly people who are Christians. And they've taken an oath. First of all, as a Christian person, clearly you take an oath to follow the Lord Jesus, to allow him to change you, to allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, to do all Jesus commanded. Because that's part of the deal. Jesus did say to do all he commands. That wasn't a maybe. It was a do all I command. Go make disciples, etc. So there's that. That's the pledge with the eternal promise. People who lead at any level of government take an oath to the Constitution of the United States and do defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So when you combine those two things, being a servant of the Lord Jesus and defending the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, well, one has to prioritize, have to. Fighting evil, of course, yes, that's part of our job as Christians, and to do that effectively, we need to wear the armor of God. And we also need to prioritize our activities wisely. I've not made a secret of my frustration with Mike Johnson and my astonishment at who Speaker Johnson has become since he's become Speaker. I've not made that a secret at all. And I was challenged in a very loving note by a listener to this network, Sherry. Challenged me on this. I'm so blessed to get notes like this. You can always write to me personally. I get all the emails. Just simply go to thetoddhermanshow.com. So Sherry wrote to me this note. She said part of his podcast today regarding my program here was with regards to Speaker Mike Johnson. I would urge him to please access this video from Pastor Jax Hibbs that was posted Thursday morning. His comments with regard to Mike Johnson don't display any possibility of looking at this through a biblical lens, and that spiritual warfare may fall into play. Please, before he continues to bash Speaker Johnson, ask him to listen to the short message. Thank you so much. And that's from Sherry. So Sherry wanted me to hear and to watch this video from Mike Johnson. And I did, and we're going to get to that. I want you to hear it as well, or at least part of it. It's about 15 minutes long. I have great respect for Pastor Hibbs, an enormous amount of respect, and I simply disagree with him on this. I'll explain why. Let me start here. In the United States Congress, while our country is undergoing a physical invasion, and it is absolutely that part of that body is purposely pushing and the other part is purposely ignoring, as that's all going on, with the attempt to overthrow our Electoral College forever, as that's all going on, the flag of one of the most corrupt countries just flew in the most corrupt U.S. Congress in history. The party has their forever war funding, and you have inflation, coming food shortages, and an active ongoing invasion of your country. Ukraine, Ukraine, Ukraine. 3 years ago, no one knew. Well, not no one, but very few people knew about the country Ukraine. In fact, when the conflict started, people were referring to it as the Ukraine, as if it were a series of islands. It has never been a key ally. Israel is. Israel is a key ally. And to go back to my discussion about, you know, doing the word of God first, following your pledge to the Constitution second, well, God has pledged his support to Israel in a special covenant. Christians must honor that. And you take an oath to serve the Constitution of the United States, to defend our country against all enemies, foreign and domestic, and Mike Johnson is not doing that at all, not even a little bit. You cannot defend this country while you continue to have no southern border. You can't. So we'll get to what Jack Hibbs said in a second here, Pastor Hibbs, for whom I have enormous respect. First, here's what the failed and maybe compromised Mike Johnson said.
The House has worked its will. These are not normal times here in the House or around the world, as we all know. And we had a disturbance here on the House floor just a bit ago. I just want to say simply what I think most people around the country understand and agree. We should only wave one flag on the House floor. And I think we know which flag that is. I said these are not normal times. They're not. Three of our primary adversaries, Russia and Iran and China, are working together, and they're being aggressors around the globe. And they're a global threat to our prosperity and our security. Their advance threatens the free world, and it demands American leadership. If we turn our backs right now, the consequences could be devastating, that we could have gotten Democrats to support aid to Israel. And that's a fact. There is a lot of misinformation out there about the bill, and I just want to make one point about one issue that has been drawn a lot of attention, and that is, could any of this funding go to Hamas or to terrorist organizations or what have you? And we put safeguards in the legislation to ensure that UNRWA is not funded, the UN agency that included terrorists who participated in the October 7th attack on Israel. We've also have language that prevents it from going, any of the funding going to Hamas or any other bad actors. I've said it very simply. I'll say it once again. It's an old military adage, but we would rather send bullets to the conflict overseas than our own boy. And I think this is an important moment, an important opportunity to make that decision. We allowed the House to do that, and I expect the Senate will make the same decision.
How this is tied to keeping America safe, I can't begin to see. Not when we are being physically invaded. Yes, God has a special covenant with Israel. Yes, that's true. My impatience with Mike Johnson is that he has done nothing to stop the evil here in America. He had an opportunity to use the power of the purse to stop children from being chemically and surgically mutilated, and he didn't. He had the ability to hold up funding until our border is secured, which must be job one as a civil servant of this country. He took an oath to this Constitution. And by the way, if Israel needs our support, and they do, and I do support the country of Israel, even though the government is, well, fallen to the sexual left and to pharma, just like ours, Israel needs us to exist in order to have our help And while our electoral college is being erased in a massive act of theft, you shall not steal. Because that's exactly what's going on. Our country is at the most dangerous point it ever has been. Because there's no effort to stop it. So again, I got this note from Sherry, such a loving note. She sent this through the radio network, AFR. With regard to Mike Johnson, I urge Todd to please listen or watch this video from Pastor Jack Hibbs. It was posted Thursday morning. So this is Jack Hibbs' defense of Speaker Mike Johnson.
Right now, all over the news are all of these lies. They're literal lies about Mike Johnson. And here's the reason why he's being lied about. Mike Johnson will not give up on Israel. What you don't see is behind-the-scenes stuff. Friends, for so many years, Nancy Pelosi in the House and Congress has sowed evil for so long. And then all of a sudden, a man who was not even seeking that position, Mike Johnson, was all of a sudden thrust onto the world scene, and he became the Speaker of the House. Mike is a real true believer. He loves God. He loves the Word of God, and he loves Israel. That realm of politics is the seat of evil, wickedness, and danger. Many of these Republicans don't want to support Israel. Mike Johnson wasn't seeking Speaker of the House, but he is. And Mike Johnson is not going to protect his position as Speaker of the House. We just got off a call moments ago. He's trusting God because he's standing for Israel. This is not about Mike Johnson. It's about Israel. He believes God has installed him right now to fight for Israel, to get what Israel needs to fight this war against Iran, Hezbollah, and Hamas. And he's sacrificing it for the defense of Israel. You are hearing on the news anti-Mike Johnson stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, Christians, I'm speaking to only the Christian. Do you believe we're in spiritual warfare? Do you believe in what the Bible has to say? Listen, Mike Johnson is under spiritual attack. The demons that are surrounding Washington, D.C. are to overthrow any decision that has come to this, that would lead to the, to help coming to Israel. Our brother Mike Johnson is on the tip of the spear, and for the first time in who knows how long, we have a born-again, Bible-loving, on his knees praying Christian as Speaker of the House, and the church is attacking him. Why? Because the church follows more of the gospel of CNN than they do the gospel of God. So friends, can you join with me in prayer right now?
I'll pray for Mike Johnson right now, Pastor Hibbs. And with all due respect to you as a great pastor, I disagree with you firmly. Mike Johnson's oath is to this country. Mike Johnson has done nothing to stop the evil of the lie of transgenderism when he could have. Nothing. When the federal government is dodging the Supreme Court ruling on Roe versus Wade, nothing. There, our nation, this nation you love, Pastor Hibbs, and I love, is being flooded with children being sex trafficked. Tens of thousands, perhaps. With cartels setting up shop in our major cities. That's an attack. That's an attack of evil, gargantuan proportion. Certainly Mike Johnson's under spiritual attack. I will join you in prayer for that anytime, any day, for as long as you like. But he took an oath to this country. And Israel, God forbid, would rue the day where they don't have the United States to come to their aid. They've been a great ally for us. God does have a special covenant with them. You cannot continue to rescue people when you drown your own lifeboat. I just disagree. Mike Johnson's focus needs to be the United States. Until I see that, I simply cannot continue to support him. There's other reasons for this, and I don't want to make it beat up on Mike Johnson Day. So let's turn the tide a little bit. Let's pray for Mike Johnson, as Pastor Hibbs suggested, and let's get back into the news of why I'm so fearful for what's been done to him. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I feel so afraid for Mike Johnson, and I hate to make this the Mike Johnson show. I just sit here flabbergasted and astonished that a man can become so different after becoming Speaker of the House, go from one position on everything and then flip. And to me, it is not explainable, as Pastor Hibbs has said, by his by Mike Johnson's love for Israel and refusal to give up on Israel. None of it's explainable that way, to me. Because to me, the priority must be the United States in terms of his job as Speaker of the House. God is the God of the universe. He's the God of all people. So obviously God cares for all human beings, and we should too, and we must pray for all this. But I fail to understand how funding Gaza supports Israel. And let me just say again and explain why I am so deeply, deeply concerned and ready to pray for Mike Johnson. So Pastor Hibbs said we should do. I agree. Let me get another example. We'll talk about this in some detail tomorrow. When the people who run Joe Biden decided to send a lightly armed group of soldiers over to Gaza to build a dock, a landing dock, so we could render aid to Gaza, he made that decision to not have them guarded by more heavily armed troops and troops trained in combat. Phenomenally bad idea. So maybe this is an act of God rescuing these troops. Their ship caught fire and had to turn around and go back rather than going to Gaza. Our military and its readiness has not been the focus at all of the leadership under the people who run Joe Biden. It has been about DEI and gender confusion almost fully, up to and including recruiting people to join the military so they can get what are called sex changes. Speaker Johnson had a chance to confront all of this and hasn't. I fail to understand how a continuing dismantling of the world's greatest military keeps us safe. I fail to understand that. There's far more to this. But Jack Hibbs is a great pastor, and he makes a great, great suggestion, and that is that we pray for Jack Hibbs, or pardon me, pray for Speaker Johnson. So in the studio, take off my hat and do a proper prayer. And if you're not driving, please be careful. If you're driving around, please be careful about how you pray. But could we do this together? Dear Father God, you make it very, very clear that we're going to face attacks in this world. You make it very clear, Jesus did, that we'd face troubles in this world. You've told us in the end times that good will be called evil and evil will be called good. You remind us that you'll be with us forever, even to the end of the age. You avail us of the armor of God. You avail us of this. Lord, let us first wear it ourselves, aware of our own hypocrisy, aware of our own failures, our own inability to live up to your standard, our thankfulness for your grace then. Help us with that, Lord. And for Speaker Johnson, who I do believe loves you dearly, help him trust you. And Lord God, if Mike Johnson is being misled, he's being blackmailed, well, help him confront that. And if this truly is Mike Johnson standing with Israel, and it truly is the right thing, would you open my heart to that? Would you open my heart? You've explained the covenant with the people of Israel. You state it. I know it to be true. I know it has come to pass, because when you say a thing will happen, it already has. But Father God, would you help Mike Johnson wisely steward this country? I don't know of any special covenant between you and the United States, and I know that you love us. I know that you love every soul here. And would you forgive Mike Johnson and Anyone else like me who's failed to act on behalf of the least of these? I think specifically of the kids being assaulted spiritually in the schools, sexually in the hallways of the schools, psychically, psychologically. Would you have grace and forgiveness for a country that you did give us this land, but it's not being stewarded well? We're allowing this great evil to wash across our borders. Not the kind souls that are seeking work, but the cartels and the people trafficking your little babies. God, please help us. Please help Speaker Mike Johnson be wise to remember his oath to this country and guard him and his family. And Lord, help us also love those who are working to destroy this country through the destruction of the Electoral College. We're called to love even our enemies. And when we can't love them, help us love them. I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. I can mean that. I can also mean this. That in our country, we are part of a world that the bosses of which no longer trust. Let's just do some comparisons here, and this should sound familiar for you, people who are plugged in and follow the news, in the world, not of it, as it were, though, of course. Have you heard of the child sexual abuse regulation going through the EU? This is from a site I subscribe to called reclaimthenet.org. They do a fantastic job of tracking surveillance attempts. So in the EU, member countries are wanting to exempt themselves. This is, well, the interior ministers, the politicians, want to exempt themselves from something that's coming up for a vote. This is the vote on the child sexual abuse regulation to chat control. And this is expected to be adopted early in June. So here's what this does. This commands tech companies to stop using encryption that the government can't crack. So in other words, the government will have back door entry into any sort of chat platform. So this could be private discussions between you and a friend on a direct message on Twitter. This could be text messages. This could be Telegram. And the government would be able to snoop in and watch what you're saying. And they're saying this because they're saying they want to do this because the European Union is deeply concerned about child pornography and about the sexualization of children. Okay, let's take a breath together, you and I. Let's take a breath. Is there any evidence of that? I'm asking a serious question. Is there any evidence that the European Union is concerned about the sexualization of children? Any evidence whatsoever? Let's review. The European Union is in lockstep in wanting to continue to tell girls they're in fact boys. They're in lockstep, for the most part. There are members of the European Union who are quite good on this and even appear to know the Lord. But as an organization, as an entity, they're lockstep in a childhood sexual bill of rights. The kids should be able to express themselves sexually at a very young age. They're in lockstep in curricula that encourages the sexualization of children at very young ages. Is there any evidence that they're concerned about children being exploited? Any evidence at all? No, to the contrary, there's not. So what are they actually seeking? It's very evident what they're seeking. They seek to control us. They're saying out in public, we ought to be able to read your private correspondence. Well, who does that? People who don't trust you. People who are afraid of you. People who want to control you. There's only one entity that can do this without spying, and that's God. Everything whispered in the dark will one day be shouted from the rooftops. But why are they trying to make of themselves gods? Because they have fear, I think. Because they know, this is my theory, they know how badly they've done stewarding the countries they were called to lead. They know. They've left countries near a point of collapse. They know that the constriction of the food supply by shutting down farms, they know where that's going to lead. And yet somehow they cannot stop. But that's Europe. That's Europe. What about here? We're talking about Speaker Johnson. We just prayed for him. I stand by the prayer. I just disagree that Mike Johnson is putting America first or anything like it. I just disagree because there's some patterns we can look at. So under House Speaker Johnson, the same thing in surveillance is happening in America, as Representative Anna Paulina Luna explains.
It literally has been responsible and breached, I think, over a quarter of a million times, in addition to the fact that they actually had made carve-outs in this legislation for members of Congress, but not the general population, meaning that if you're a member of Congress, you'll be notified by the FBI nicely that you're being under surveillance, but if you're a normal person, that you're not. So that's completely unacceptable.
So that's about FISA, which, let's remember recent history, President Trump authorized. He did. Huge mistake. And Mike Johnson could have stopped. Mike Johnson, prior to being Speaker, was against this because he'd seen the 400 abuses that the FBI had done with this technology and this ability to wiretap us and monitor us without warrants. But one meeting behind closed doors with a corrupt intelligence agency, and suddenly Mike Johnson sees everything afresh? How is this making America safer to make the political bosses gods, small g? See, they're exempting themselves. Sometimes it's helpful to just speak things very clearly because the world of politics can seem so confusing. Just try this. Take that application where you have the bosses of the country saying, you can't look at our emails, but we get to look at your private messages. And let's flip that around. Let's remind ourselves, who works for us? They do. So let's take this to an employment circumstance. Let's say that you walk over to an employee's desk, someone works for you. You say, hey, can you give me the Johnson file? The Johnson file on the Johnson case? Could you pull that open and give me that? I need that for a meeting. No, I'm not going to show that to you. Pardon? No, you can't see it. You work for me. I need that file, and I'm going to have it now. I'm sorry, I can't do that. How long does that employee last? About 10 more seconds, right? These are our employees saying, we're going to read everything you write if we feel like it. But you can't even use a FOIA request to get decent information from us. Who does that? People who do not want you to see what they're up to. I mean, they do work for us. My deep fear for Mike Johnson is that he was one person before he gained power. Now he's this person, which would render a question. Did he actually gain power? Or did he gain a position? And then power came to him and said, here's what you're going to do. Absolutely, I pray for Mike Johnson, and I mean it. See, there's patterns. It's up to us to understand the patterns, to understand where we're at with this government. The founder of Telegram told Tucker Carlson about the U.S. intelligence services seeking to undermine that private messaging app.
We get too much attention from the FBI, the security agencies, wherever we came to the U.S. So to give you an example, last time I was in the US, I brought an engineer that is working for Telegram, and there was an attempt to secretly hire my engineer behind my back by cybersecurity officers or agents, wherever they are called.
The US government tried to hire your engineer?
That's my understanding. That's what he told me.
To write code for them or to break into Telegram?
They were curious to learn which open source libraries are integrated to the Telegram's app, you know, on the client side, and they were trying to persuade him to use certain open source tools that he would then integrate into the Telegram's code that, in my understanding, would serve as backdoors.
Would allow the US government to spy on people who use Telegram.
The US government, or maybe any other government.
So in the EU, they're just coming out and saying, in order to protect you against child pornography, we need to be able to spy on you. Well, except they don't care about child pornography at all. Not as a body. And in this country, we're hearing that we're keeping ourselves safe by giving the government this incredible power to be able to read into our messages, private messages, as it were. And yet both governments want to exclude their own persons from this. Now, this is why I can absolutely pray for Mike Johnson and mean it, A, because he's a brother in Christ, and B, because it's my judgment that he is radically, radically fumbling and failing in his assigned duty to steward this country that God did give us, or we wouldn't have it. We'll come back on The Disciples' View. I'm Todd Herman. Back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. There's something really, really important this weekend about the power of friendship and what it can do for us and what it can deliver for us in times that sometimes you don't even realize how much it means for you. I'll share that with you as we wrap up the show today. Just one other political note before we get into the Tower babbling. The city of Denver has decided that it doesn't have enough money to fund its cops. So it's cutting $8.4 million from its police force. So what do you think that's going to? Take a big guess. Right, illegal immigrants. They're using that money to have more places to store the 40,000 illegal immigrants coming into Denver this year. And with it, congressional seats through the Electoral College math and the apportionment of congressional seats. I'll stop picking on Mike Johnson for now. I really don't like doing it. I really don't. He's a brother in Christ, and he's failing. And to speak about securing this country and making it stronger by giving money to an unbelievably corrupt entity, Ukraine, a terrorist entity, Hamas, because giving money to Gaza, no matter how many ways you want to say otherwise, when you give money to Gaza, you are helping Hamas. And that's making us stronger? I can't get there. I can pray for him, but I can't get there. Not while things like this are happening. Because things like this are happening all around the country. It's really, really useful sometimes to remove the political and just make this personal. Just make it simple. So let's just run a test, okay? Let's say that your HOA, your housing association. So if you live in an HOA, you know, they control things like you can't have fences or houses have to be this color. We have a very good HOA where we live. It's actually a little small government that provides us with these wells, and they do a really good job. It's so fantastically run. I didn't think I'd ever appreciate an HOA. But let's say that your HOA decided to, you know what? Let's go ahead and create some buildings behind houses expressly for burglars. Why? Well, we want burglars to live here. Why? Well, burglars have to live somewhere. You'd vote that down. You'd laugh. Now, not all these illegal immigrants are burglars. Perhaps most aren't. All of them have broken the law. But let's say this. Let's say that your HOA instead said, hey, let's let some people down the street vote in our HOA. What? Sure, you live up here in a rural area. There's 600 homes, but that's not very many people. Let's let the people in the city vote on what we do with our houses. Why? Compassion. That's what the shift in the Electoral College is. That's why I can pray for Mike Johnson and mean it, because he's a brother in Christ, and why I can use this time on this program to try to get to him. Speaker Johnson, you are not making America more secure. You're not, with all due respect. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Culture is a reflection of our moment and our time. And present culture is the way we express how we're feeling about the moment.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites that I think adds weight to my belief that God does place wise people up on these leaning back and forth pedestals so we can just see their earthly wisdom is nothing compared to his. Soundbite number one, just in case anyone doubts that the separate country of California is utterly fallen to Satanism, just know that their legislature rejected a bill to make purchasing children in order to rape them a felony. Representative Shannon Grove authored the bill.
The committee forced amendments on us, that I declined to accept. And it only lessens the impact that we can go after. They want to exclude 16, 17 years old. They want to exclude them from this.
They want to allow adults to purchase the bodies of 16 and 17-year-old children to use for their own sexual gratification. They don't want it to be a felony. Are there any questions? And when our country is a sex trafficking hotspot, I don't think God can continue to bless our country. How could he? Pray for mercy. Pray for an awakening. Second soundbite in today's Tower Babbling, and just in case anyone thinks their state is safe from the satanic sexual left and their paymasters in pharma, this is a video that depicts a dog who thinks he's a cat, and of course, he should be affirmed.
He thinks he's a cat.
He thinks he's a cat?
Yeah.
Well, that's okay, isn't it?
Well, I think you should talk to him.
About what?
Well, about being more like a dog.
Gulliver, accepting people for who they are is a very important skill.
That video, and thank you to Libs of TikTok for surfacing it, was shown to fourth graders at Bramlett Elementary School in Georgia. It's so weird. I'll tell you why. Back in the day when I started to fight against the lie of transgenderism and gender ideology 6 or 7 years ago, I used that exact example. If a dog thinks it's a cat, can't it be a cat? And if I think I'm the governor of Washington State, can't I do that? I actually did that on social media. I changed my profile on Twitter to say the governor of the state of Washington. And I got a lot of people upset with me. You're not the governor of the state of Washington. Oh, why not? I think I am. But that was parody. This isn't parody anymore. They're showing videos to kids saying that if a dog thinks he's a cat, well, then you have to agree because he's being his true self. Satan, a liar, a thief, and the murderer from the very, very beginning. Last soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. And just in case anyone thinks NPR can be rescued under the current regime, or at all, here's their current CEO, Catherine Marr, back when she was getting paid by the Atlantic Council, which you and I are forced to fund.
The number one challenge here is, of course, the First Amendment in the United States is a fairly robust protection of rights. And it also means that it is a little bit tricky to really address some of the real challenges of where does bad information come from and sort of the influence peddlers who have made a real market economy around it.
The challenge is the First Amendment. Says a woman who at that point was working for the Atlantic Council, which is funded by no less than 11 federal government agencies. She went on to be the CEO, so-called, of NPR. She's not really a chief executive in that they get most of their funding from government. So it's a government agency. First Amendment's an issue for peddlers of misinformation because they can take advantage of it. Says NPR that refused to report on the Hunter Biden laptop story, even though they admitted it was true. And then they bragged about that decision. Huh. And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I don't have anything to share with all of you at this time. And I'll just leave it there.
On a Disciple's View.
I do wrap up the show often by just sharing a little bit about me personally, because you're so kind to spend this time with me. I think it's a good idea for you to know a bit about the rodeo clown who gets to host a Disciples View, courtesy of you funding the program through your monthly donations at AFR.net. Thank you for that. So I do get some people concerned when I combine my faith with my kind of maybe a little bit truly insane obsession with working out. Okay, I admit it's kind of obsessive. And the reason I do that is because God gave me a love for this. And there are so many times I discover so much about myself when I'm engaged in super hard work. I've told you I've committed to do this program at the end of September called Seal Fit. And it is a tiny little version of Hell Week. People who want to be Navy SEALs go through. And in training for this, on Saturday morning, I woke up at 2 and started my workout at about 3:30. And the goal was to work out for 12 hours with some rest periods programmed in, rest periods that I found out I'm really bad at taking. I am afraid of resting during those periods of time because I'm afraid I won't get back to the work. So in all, if you take driving from one place to another and eating, fueling, we call it, I worked out for 10 and a half hours. The morning workout was a long run with 60 pounds, up about a 600 foot gain. It was about 4 miles. And then got to work on the beach of doing burpees and these things called flutter kicks and weights and shuttle runs and all in the sands, all purposely getting wet. And at about 5:30 in the morning, a friend showed up. Wow. And the presence of a friend who came just to do half hour with me was so supportive. It lifted my mood. It changed the entire structure of what I was doing mentally. Such a lift. Friendship is so powerful in this way. And later, when I was at the midst of the pain and the huge part of it, I got to a point during this workout. It was about the 9-hour point. And at this juncture, I'd driven from the beach on the lake into town, into a gym. I was preparing to go swim in the pool. And I was doing kind of CrossFit stuff. So weights and rope climbs and things like that. And in walked more friends, this time young friends. Friends who are young men I get to minister to. In fact, they minister to me through youth groups at church and other venues. They walked in through the door. God simply sent a note saying, hey, here's what I'm doing this weekend, and they saw the schedule. So out of their own pockets, they dug in, paid the $20 guest fee, all of them, and surprised me. Just as earlier that morning, one friend of the workout. I want to give credit to the other friend who woke up early. They walk in the room. Now, at that point, I'd reached a point of exhaustion where mentally I was far more fatigued than physically. It can really tax your central nervous system not stopping working out. But when the boys walked in, everything shifted. So I finished the workout period I was in. I consulted my watch. I programmed in a 15-minute rest and went over and greeted the guys and showed them what I was doing and laid out the workout for them. And they were suitably kind of impressed that an old man was doing this. And that could be very prideful for me. God guarded me against that. And then they got suited up. And they decided to do that period of this workout with me, which is about 40 minutes. It was this. Before we got going, one of the boys said, "Wait, you're going to pray, right?" You know, I realized that I'd not been praying before each and every workout. So I did. I prayed. They prayed. We did the workout together. They gave me a hug. They left. They went on their way. And one of my last workouts of that day was swimming in the pool. And here's where it got to me. In the silence of that pool, without the sound of music or clanging weights or people at the beach or cars or even the conversation with friends, I was floating in water, kind of propelling myself through it. And in that silence, I had the opportunity to reflect with gratitude on being able to do this through the day and friends simply blessing me with their presence. And it occurred to me, there's a friend I haven't seen in quite a while. He's a guy I was called to mentor. I miss him. I've allowed myself to become so busy that I've not reached out to him. I need to do that today. He's a good man who's decided to walk with the Lord, and I agreed to mentor him, and I've not been there. And his work of coming back into line with God, back into being a citizen in full, is far more important than my silly working out. So, as I sit here now, I'll pop off the air, I'll send him a text message, and beg him for forgiveness that we might get together. And it's interesting when God can choose to convict you in moments of silence by simply showing how others love you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Because we believe we speak His Word. Until God gives us permission to speak again, on behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.